Welcome. Welcome. Let everyone get in the door. Hi. Everybody. Welcome. Well, we are here for body image and sex coaching. I'm Coach Julie, and you have Coach Lisa in the chat. She is in all caps. She is not yelling at you. She just wants you to see her posts. She will answer your questions there. She will also answer some questions in the Q&A. She may leave me some in the Q&A, depending on how many people are with their hands raised to get coached. Like every month, we are going to start with a topic. And today's topic is about body image, just like a little bit of an introduction to body image. So, as you still are coming in, let's talk about it. Again, I'm No BS Coach Julie with the amazing Coach Lisa in the chat. So, what do you think body image is? Well, it turns out body image refers to a person's perception of themselves and their body. So, your thoughts and feelings about your own body. And it encompasses how we perceive our physical appearance, including our size and our shape, and various other attributes like skin color, hair, skin condition, your body's features. So, body image isn't solely about physical appearance. It also includes how you feel about your body, your level of satisfaction or dissatisfaction with it, and the impact these feelings have on your overall self-esteem. Well, what's self-esteem? It's how we value and perceive ourselves. And that's based on our opinions about ourselves and our beliefs. So, body image, self-esteem, self-confidence, all kind of in bed with each other. So, I want to share just a really quick story with you. I had skin cancer as a kid. And the dermatologist told me, I was 9 years old, he said, quote, "You were born defective," end quote. He described cancer cells as defective and over-reproducing. And then he reiterated, like, in a comforting way, that I was just born defective. He didn't understand at the time, like, what a young impressionable girl would think about being told she was defective. And so that was kind of the beginning of my angst with my body. In essence, how he described my body to me influenced how I thought about myself and my body and its function. So that's just an example about how my own body image could be influenced by someone else. In this case, it was a medical doctor, but let's not go hating doctors. Let's not hate the doctors. He was right. He was right. He was describing the science of cancer to me. He wasn't describing, like, the personal experience of being a 9-year-old that had cancer. He obviously, like, did not necessarily know how to describe this to a child in a way that would not be impactful, but the science was correct in what he described. So, but I am not alone. We all have someone, like a parent or a sibling or a clergy member, that influenced how we think about our bodies. It's normal. Body image can be influenced by numerous factors, including, like, cultural and societal standards of beauty, family, peers, faith-based influences, media, the portrayal of idealized bodies in movies, in magazines, on the internet, and also your personal experience. Like, were you bullied about something connected to your body? Yeah, someone just said spouses. Yes. So think about your own life. What we're talking about is unconscious bias that we bring forward from like our childhoods of when we learned about our bodies. So can you think of something that you have carried forward today without thinking about it and questioning its validity or its origin? Yes, Lori just said, Corinne said, Uncle Bocephus. Yes, that is Corinne's name for family member being an ass face. And that's exactly right. So individuals who have like a positive body image tend to have a more accepting and like content view of their body, while those with a negative body image may experience dissatisfaction, maybe self-criticism, maybe self-loathing. So body image though is a little bit complex and like multifaceted, right? And it can vary like from person to person. So promoting a healthy body image involves a bunch of things, all of which you have at your fingertips here at No BS. So self-acceptance, self-compassion, a realistic understanding of your own body, as well as intentionally challenging those unrealistic beauty ideals or societal pressures that don't work for you related to your physical appearance. So developing a positive body image can contribute to improving your overall mental health and emotional well-being, but also your overall life satisfaction. And here at No BS, improving your overall life experience can lead to weight loss. So how do we improve our body image? I'm just going to give you a couple of ways. There's a lot of ways, but I just want you to remember it's like all things No BS. It's gradual and ongoing process. And there's like no perfection here. It's like 5% better thinking about yourself can greatly impact your body image. And here's some actionable items. Practice self-compassion. We talk about this in weight loss all the time, but it really applies here too. Treat yourself with the kindness and understanding, just as you would a friend, as you would your own daughter, as you would your sister, a colleague. Acknowledge that nobody's perfect, and it's okay to have, if you identify as imperfections or flaws, it's okay. It's normal. Challenge negative thinking. Pay attention to your negative self-talk and challenge those thoughts. When you catch yourself thinking negatively about your body, I want you to try to reframe those thoughts in a more positive or neutral way. And you have the 4Ns new belief process as a tool for that. So remember, it's not about like skipping through fields of daisies, new thoughts. We're talking about 5% better new thoughts. Okay. And then prioritizing self-care, which is another act of No BS. Things that make you feel good about yourself, whether that's a bath or practicing meditation, pursuing a hobby that you love or interest that boosts your self-esteem, listen to No BS content, or other content that causes you to feel good about yourself. It makes you have really good thoughts and feelings about you. Here's the one I really want to ask you all to do. Cultivate a sense of gratitude for your body. It's a practice. Regularly remind yourself of the things you appreciate about your body, whether it's your strength or your resilience or the way it allows you to experience the world. For me, sometimes it's something physical and sometimes it's something about my personality, but I want you to practice finding something always. So for example, in my eyes, you can see my whole heart, my passion. Everything about who I am comes through in my eyes. And I just know like my inner sparkle shows through my eyes. And so on a day where I think about my stomach roll or my neck or my arm flabs, I remind myself of like the true beauty of what shines through in my sparkling eyes. I want you to find that in you too. But most of all, no more compare and despair. There's no place for comparing to someone else, to their body or their well-being. Like everyone's body is unique. Focus on your own journey and your own progress. So what about you? I challenge each and every one of you on this call right now. Type in the chat. What's one thing you appreciate about your body that you're willing to share right here, right now? I'm just going to give it a second. Jean says, it keeps on going. Ooh, Annie says, I love my booty. I see some smiles for Wendy and Laura. Eyes, Adrian. Oh, I carried 4 children. That's lovely. My fake boobs, Lisa said. That's amazing. I love it. Oh, these are so good. My lower legs. I'm strong and healthy. My strong legs. My curly hair. My silver hair. My braveness. Thank you. That's the gift we can give each other and ourselves. Right there. Right there. Thank you. So now please raise your hand if you would like to be coached. I have a hand now, so I'm going to bring Allie up to be coached. Okay.
Hello. I'm sorry. Just trying to get my camera on. Thank you.
Hi, Allie.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for this. I really appreciate it. So, you know, I guess like what I want to say is I'm working on trying to bring intimacy back into my marriage. My husband is very open to it. And so he has erectile dysfunction and like it kind of weared on me quite a bit because, you know, I felt like it was my fault, like when it was going on and I really just didn't understand it. And, you know, I went through a lot of like therapy and he's went through therapy and, you know, we're kind of at this place of wanting to try and to, you know, bring this back. And it's like, it seems like when I go and I want to, you know, be intimate, I just kind of clam up and freeze. And I just think of all of the past times that, you know, things didn't work out and how I felt after. And I just won't even, I'm kind of just so closed as soon as I go that I just can't seem to relax into it. So I guess what I was wondering is, you know, there's so much wrapped up in this, but I wanted to be coached on, you know, just trying to be in that moment and be open to it. Cause it's just multifaceted, you know, there's just so many things going on for both of us. And I don't know, it's just been really hard.
Well, let's talk about it. Like, thanks so much for sharing, first of all, and you're not alone. There are so many of us that are living in this experience, have lived in it, or don't even know we're about to live in it. So you're literally not alone. But let's talk about your expectations. Are you entering into your intimate moments with an expectation of penetration? And yeah, okay.
I am, and I think that's a block. I think that I need to be more open-minded because that doesn't always work, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly like, oh, you're coaching yourself right now.
Okay.
Right? This is so normal to do, right? For a woman, you go into an interaction expecting to have a penetrative orgasm oftentimes, right? Mm-hmm. But like, first, that's not super common. It's less common than not. And second, mm-hmm. there are a million satisfying acts that could be happening between the two of you, mm-hmm. whether full penetration to fruition can happen or not. So like, do you know the kinds of things that you like doing with your husband?
Yes. So like, I mean, I do enjoy like in the bedroom, I guess, you know, I guess manual and, you know, involving toys and stuff. But I think where I get caught up is we keep trying for the penetration because we want to like try that again, you know, and explore that. And as soon as it doesn't work, I keep telling myself pivot, but I don't, I just clam up and I'm like, well, I don't know what to do. And he gets upset with himself, and then I'm like, this isn't fun anymore, you know? So it just kind of, I'm having a hard time with the pivot, even though there is these other things. Like, I can't seem to, you know what I mean? Like, I just can't seem to go from that and that expectation to, you would like other things. Why don't we try that? You know, I just get real one track mind, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I'm guessing it has something to do with your thoughts around the pivot. Like, this ain't working, so I have to, or it's like a desperate moment where you're like trying to change it up. Is that true?
Yes, that is definitely accurate. And I'm like wanting to kind of calm him down because like he's been a lot better with it. But for myself, I get very, it starts the whole tape of, you know, this is like if I was thinner and we're never going to be able to do this. And I just start going down this rabbit hole that like, how could you ever get off after that? You know what I mean? Like if you're doing like that.
What's the best plan then?
I guess to maybe, that's a great question. Thank you. I guess maybe try to just stay in the moment and understand that these thoughts can come up, but we love each other and we want to try these things. And there's other ways that we can enjoy sex and orgasm. And it doesn't always have to be what you thought originally. Sometimes it can be even better, I guess.
Like 100% agreed. Like if you're going in with the expectation of penetration and the second it doesn't happen, you're like, I got to pivot. It doesn't sound fun. Right. And it doesn't feel fun. So it's like, it's no wonder you guys aren't having fun.
Right.
Now, what would it be like if you went in to the event, like from the beginning, with just the goal of curiosity, experimentation? What would that be like?
I definitely think it would be better than where we are right now. I think, you know, that is changed so much with my weight loss, trying to be more curious and open instead of like, so one track mind. So I think that's a really good idea because I think if you're curious, then you're open. And I think I need to be open in this situation instead of so closed. And I think I keep clamming up because of that. So I think that's a really good, great suggestion.
That's like, if you think about it, you might find something you guys really enjoy. You might laugh when you try something that like totally like goes south, mm-hmm. right? It can be, we forget this is like, sex is fun.
Yes, I do forget that. And it's like, why am I forgetting that? It's natural. Like, why am I doing this to myself? So that's such a great point.
Okay. It's like, sex is fun. Like, the pivot is not about a dysfunction. The pivot is about you two want to be together. Mm-hmm. And it really doesn't matter what different body parts are doing what. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of opportunity for intimacy. There's a lot of opportunity for pleasure. There is still opportunity for orgasm. If you're just open to like, I'm open to anything, what can we create?
That's so beautiful. Thank you. That just like really touched me. I really appreciate that. I think I'm going to try to go in with that mindset and really work on that. So I think that's super helpful.
So good. And just know that like, nothing is going wrong. I understand we have a perception about how his body works and how our body works.
Mm-hmm.
But we're wrong.
Yeah.
His body works like that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He's like not defective, just like we're not defective because of the size of our body, or we're not defective when we try to work on an urge and don't successfully manage it, right? Mm-hmm. He's fine the way he is. You guys are gonna find like an equilibrium where you experiment and find things you really like doing. And then because you're both on the same page, then you can kind of like, if he's ready, you can go right into that moment really quick. It might only last a minute or two. It might mm-hmm. only last a minute, but who cares? That's a minute of success, right? This is not 3 minutes of failure. It might be 1 minute of success.
That's a great point. Okay. That's very helpful. I can't thank you enough. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Let me know.
I will.
I wish you just all the fun and like the joy of like finding the pivoting kind of exciting.
Yes, I love that. I'm going to listen to this when it comes out on the podcast again, because I really want to be focused when we're talking. So I'm going to take some notes and make it go forward and have fun. So thank you so much.
You're welcome, Allie. I'll see you soon.
Okay.
Take care of
Thank
you.
you.
Have fun.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Oh, that's so good. I had so much judgment. Well, I bring Donna up. I'm going to tell you. I had so much judgment about my spouse's ability to perform or lack thereof. I made it mean so many things about me, about us. Once I got over that, Donna, you can turn on your camera when you're ready and unmute. Once I got over that, there was so much space to like play and experiment and enjoy the day. So, Donna, I know you. Hi.
Hi, Julie. You thought you were getting rid of me, right?
No, I don't want to ever get rid of you. You're mine, mine, oh, mine.
Okay. All right. So I'm so nervous, which I should not be, because guys, I just finished 6 months of private coaching with Julie, which I just want to say was completely awesome. So I'm not nervous about being on a Zoom call with Julie, but I'm nervous about being on a Zoom call with everyone else who doesn't know what I look like. So Julie, right after you and I finished the other day on our last session, I clicked onto the Queen's Club call, and Corinne was talking about body image and being uncomfortable with how we look. And I started chatting in the Q&A with Coach Ashley about, wow, I don't like how I look on Zoom ever. And versus when I look in the mirror, I feel like I look so different. And so we talked a little bit, and then I followed up and asked coaches, and I said, you know, maybe what I need to do is just start going on the Zoom calls and just like letting people see me and just like sitting in that discomfort and like getting outside of my comfort zone in that way. So
yeah. So
here
how's
I
it
am,
feel?
guys. I'm like totally nervous. The thing that really bugs me about my appearance when I'm on a Zoom call is that the natural physical structure of my face, I have when I'm relaxed, I have this very downturned mouth. And since I've gotten older, it seems to have gone more asymmetrical, so that like one side of it's really down even more than the other. And now I have like these deep lines where the face turns down. So like, unless I'm consciously smiling in a call, which like I can't continue to do, because you know it's like it's work to make the face and to make my mouth turn up like that. Like I have to work those muscles to do that. And
Oh my
then
God.
especially when I'm coaching, I'm like, I'm deep in thought. And when I'm deep in thought and trying to figure things out and work with things, then my face is like super relaxed, and then it becomes really evident. And so there have been times since I've been in No BS for 2.5 years, and there have been so many times I've wanted to be coached by people, and it's been like open coaching, just raise your hand. And I've held myself back because I didn't want other people to see me on the Zoom call. So I'm just here to like face that and sit in that discomfort and to do some of the things that you've already talked about, I think, with me in private coaching, and also right on this call with the self-compassion, you know, and the working with the thoughts, and just like, this is how my face is. This is how I was born. And I think one of the hardest things is people that don't know me, like people that I just have like quick interactions with or whatever, they see me and they think that I'm very sad or I'm angry when I'm not at
Well, let's
all.
talk about
But
that.
it's like my
Let's
face
talk
just
about
does
that.
that.
Okay. Let's talk about that though. Has
Okay.
someone told you
Yeah.
They've said words. You look angry.
Yeah, people have said, what's the matter?
Okay.
Can I help? Gosh, I didn't mean to offend you. You know, people have said that to me, especially when I was working. Part of my job was to help people like resolve problems in like their processes, what they actually did in a day, like their transactions were out of balance and we were trying to find where. And so as I'm working with them one-on-one, I'm thinking really hard and I'm trying to process it and piece it together. And my face is doing that. And they're like, oh, don't be mad at me. No, like, I didn't mean to. Like, I'm not mad. I'm so not, like, I want to wear a shirt that says, I'm not mad. I'm not sad. My face just does this.
I want you to take a deep breath.
Yeah.
And I want you to tell me, what do you make it mean about you that your mouth downturns and one side's a little uneven?
I think it's unattractive. It's unattractive to me. And I know from experience that people misinterpret it as being something about them or something that's wrong when that's not the case.
So we're going to talk about those two things separately. There's you seeing yourself as unattractive. We'll talk about that in a minute because, we're going to talk about that first. That's fine. Okay. That doesn't have to change. You don't have to think it's attractive.
Right.
You can be like,
I would prefer it to be like this. Like some people have that natural, and I'm so jealous of that. I wish I had that.
Okay. Does it make them somehow better?
I think it makes them more attractive.
Yeah.
To me, it's more attractive.
Okay.
Yeah.
But other than that, is it okay?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of normal, right? Like, we all have people we think are super attractive in the world. Mm-hmm. And we all, like I talked earlier about comparing and despairing.
Mm-hmm.
We all do that a little.
Right.
And it also doesn't have to change. Like, we do know each other personally. You are an amazing human being that, like, truly does this work. And this view, like, it'd be great if you saw yourself as the beauty that we see you as, but you may not.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
It is.
Okay.
It is. And being okay with that, you know, I think is part of my growth.
Exactly. There's work you could do if you want to improve how you think about your face.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably could make 5% improvement thoughts for a while, but you're probably not going to get to like, I am a beauty. Like the chat is blowing up with how beautiful you are. Right? You might not get there. It's okay. But there could be some growth there if you wanted to like gradually work your way there. But let's talk about mm-hmm. these other people. Mm-hmm. So other people have thoughts and they say words out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it matter what they think?
I think the one that's really hard is when they do think I'm like angry with them. Like they think they've done something to offend me. And sometimes, you know, they say it. And then I think, gosh, maybe other people think that and they didn't say it. So I never like had a chance to explain myself. You know, they just went away from that transaction or the interaction thinking, wow, she's a, you know, I wonder what I said that made her so angry. And I wasn't angry. But, you know, if they didn't say it, then they're just kind of left with that impression of me.
What if that's okay? Like, what if no matter whether it was your face, your smile, like I smile a lot and people have thoughts about me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have a downturn. I do have one dimple, but not another.
One if I smile enough.
I smile all the time. I'm a smiley person, mm-hmm. but I bet there's somebody on Zoom that has thoughts about me and what I'm like, how I show up.
Mm.
What if it doesn't matter at all? What if it literally has nothing to do with you, what they think?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Could you imagine that being possible?
Maybe.
Like there
I'm
is,
willing to think about that.
yeah, like just that it's possible. Maybe not even that you will believe that, but like there are people in the world who someone has said something about their appearance on Zoom and they like legit don't care. They know it's not about them. Is that possible? Yeah, because like on Zoom, we all like in life. This and this is for everyone, but obviously, Donna, you and I are talking. People get to think what they want. People make generalizations about everything. It your face, you could have the smiliest face, and there's another reason why they think you're upset. If they are gonna act like for all of us, remembering that we do this as humans, you always have the opportunity to ask someone, like, are you okay? Is there anything like that I can do different? Like, someone else can always ask you a question, but if they're going to straight say, like, what's wrong? You know, that's on them. Like, they're acting on their own thinking. It's not really your responsibility to change their thinking because it doesn't mean anything about you. It's not right.
But I always appreciate it when they say something because at least then I have the opportunity to say, especially when I was working with people, because that was a really tough situation. Like if they really went away thinking, wow, now she's angry with me because I messed that up and she had to help me fix it. That was my job. That's what I was hired to do. So I didn't mind trying to help them fix it. I just looked that way. My face looked that way while I was processing and trying to figure out how to solve the issue that they came to me with. So, yeah.
So I think it's important to just remember that like they're gonna make gross generalizations about you in whatever capacity. Right? Like this whole room, it felt good because everyone's saying how beautiful you are. But what if they aren't thinking that? You just happen to know that the chat is blowing up with how beautiful you are. That is amazing, but it's not their words that are amazing. It's your thoughts about what they're saying that's amazing. Right? They're literally offering how beautiful and how cute and all kinds of amazing. You need to go back and read the chat. But their words actually have no power over you until you buy into it. Or you like it, or you agree, or you allow yourself to have really lush thoughts about the words they're saying, and it feels amazing. Just like when someone says, are you upset? You allow yourself to like worry that they're misreading you, which is fine. It's okay that you're worried about it. It's okay that they're misreading you. Nothing has to change. You can be the wonderful human you are, and the person across from Zoom can misread you, and you don't correct them because it doesn't matter because they're making an assumption that actually doesn't affect the world at all, right?
Yeah, in most cases it doesn't.
Yeah. And
No.
it's like I get it, like misinterpreted, and there's a desire to like not be misinterpreted. Oh my gosh, I fully get that. And so I understand you have like this welcoming nature of like, if someone's perceiving me that way, I like the opportunity to assure them that's not true. That's great. But is everyone perceiving you that way?
No.
Okay, good. Because I was
I'm sure
wondering.
some people aren't noticing at all because we're all
Exactly.
caught up in our own stuff. So.
They're caught up in their own head about their own thing, you know? Yeah. Okay. So
All right.
there's really not much work to be done here. Only you showed up for yourself right here. We had a great conversation, and like you're learning how to accept your unique qualities as your own beauty, your own beauty, like regardless of.
And I think not letting that hold me back like the way that I have. Like if
Correct.
I want to be coached on something on a coaching call to feel like Yes, I am going to raise my hand, and I don't care what my face looks like on Zoom. And if I want to participate in an activity and it's going to be meeting a whole bunch of new people, I'm going to do it anyway, even though there might be somebody there that looks at that and thinks, wow, I wish she hadn't shown up today because she's clearly not in a good mood, or whatever it is that they're going to be thinking, that I just don't let. That I'm not limiting myself
Totally.
from getting what I need because I'm concerned about. See, yes, I got that. I heard that, Julie.
Good. And
Thank
also
you. You're
remember
so
one,
good.
you're so good. But remember one last thing. When you're troubleshooting for someone online, right? They're already frustrated with something that's going on. And they're
Very.
looking to a solution for you, and whatever it is already a big problem for them. So, like, of course, they're looking for it to be a problem for you too, right? Have you ever done this with, like, I know you have actually. You're like on hold on the phone with somebody, and it's a big problem that
You
you're
do know that.
like, I do. So, like, literally, it's a big problem for you when you get on the phone with them. Like, I myself, I'm like, ah. But like for them, they're like, I'm trying to solve this for you, lady. Like, what's up with you? So remember that, like, the perception that they have of you is also a, it's like a mirror of where they're at in their own space too. It's like, I'm very unhappy with my scenario that I need troubleshooting on. So like, of course I'm sitting here looking for all the unhappiness, right? I'm not looking. You see what I mean?
You are so wise. You just, yeah.
Right, like,
That got right to it, Julie. Yes, thank you.
so proud of you, my friend. So proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. All right, I'll see you soon. Bye. This is so good, y'all, because like Donna like challenged herself to do something that is just out of the box for her. Christine, I'm bringing you up while I continue to talk about Donna. I just want you to know, like, this is the space for that. This is a safe place to talk about anything, sex and body image, but also just know, like, this is a place to push yourself. This is no BS. You get to do it your way here. So let's talk about whatever it is you need to talk about and get it on the table. Christine, welcome.
Hi, thank you. One of the things you brought up about self-image was something I had for end this morning, and my next best thought was to come here. And so here I am. I have been on a weight loss journey for about a year, stalled in July, which led me to no BS, and here I am. My husband has also been on the same weight loss journey, but his weight is coming off much faster. And there's a lot of comparison, and now it's starting to, overall, we're doing better than we've ever done before. But just recently, I've noticed that it's starting to creep in to different facets of our marriage. And I'm now wanting to just give up, and it's something that my old shitty would tell me I want to give up, but I'm in a no quit zone. And I just need some help with that. My next best thought or action was to come here, so.
Right. So good. So already you've done your next best action. So let's work through just the next level. So tell me about the normalized part of this. Like, you and your husband are both on this weight loss journey, and now he's starting to have faster or a little bit more success than you. And how is that normal?
That's normal because I talked to my accountability group, and what we came up with was it's normal because he doesn't have a lot of emotion attached to his eating right now. He's just like, I'm cutting out X, Y, and Z, and I'm doing it. Like it doesn't, he doesn't do it as much for emotional eating as I
notice that I do. And also he's doing it, like his emotions are very different than mine and don't involve food. So that's where we normally stick it.
Yes. Like he's a man weight loss, female weight loss, different. He is not emotionally eating. That's not what happened when he gained it, I guess. Or he's not emotionally eating now while he's losing it. Great. Like, could we all just celebrate for your husband without comparing? Yay for him.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I just want you to bring that into your heart. Like, yay for him.
I am so proud of him. This is, he's done this roller coaster for a long time. And I really see, like, both of us see a huge change in us. And it's making our marriage stronger. And that is actually, that's one of the reasons why I'm able to do this call, is because he took the kids and gave me, I'm in the car, but he gave me some time and some peace to be here.
See, I think this is so good for you because yay for him, like he's having great success. Mm-hmm. And you are in your own way. It's going to be paced different. It's going to look different. You guys are going to lose in different ways. Your loss is going to look different on your bodies, right? Female body loss looks different than male body loss. I'm sure there's some places that the skin's the same, but like ultimately it's supposed to be different. You're different people. So tell me about the success of yours.
My success has been, like I said, we started about October of 2022 and I've lost, it's about 35 pounds. I had stopped, I had, so 29 pounds. I had kind of stopped that in May, and then May to July, I was just really struggling with trying to get it off, which brought me, like I said, to no BS. And then I've lost six more since being with no BS, but it was a lot, you know, it was a lot of work emotionally and a lot of journaling.
Yeah. And you still emotionally eat some? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're still working on that?
Yeah, I worked through, like I said, I worked through some like initial things that were brought up when I first joined. And now I couldn't really figure what was my trigger that's like causing me to overeat a lot this week. And it just kind of popped in my head. It's like someone had made a stupid comment, which they just meant such goodness from it. And I internalized it as, well, what about me? My husband and I ran into someone we hadn't seen in a while, and they're like, geez, where's the rest of you? You know, because he looks great. And I'm like, well, what about me? You have no idea how much hard work that I've been putting in. And I feel like I'm putting in even more work. And I didn't realize at the time, but finally it just kind of like the light bulb went off this morning. And I'm like, that's what's really been kind of bugging me. And I've been thinking it was other things, but once like that thought came in my head, like that's bugging me. That's, I felt peace with that and decided to journal on it. And now here, like I said, here I am.
So let's answer the question. What about you? It doesn't matter what friend said about husband, doesn't matter what they noticed or didn't notice. You get to notice right now, right here. What about you? Tell me about you valuing your own hard work.
I mentioned this morning with my accountability group, just I am in such a better place than I was last year. Last year, I really felt an uphill battle of like hard work without the tools, like mountain climbing with like barefoot, right? It kind of felt that way. And now having the tools that I've learned plus the no BS tools, I feel like it's manageable. And I feel like I still can't look to the top of that mountain. The top of the mountain is so far. I can look at the next step. Like I could tell you, like, I want to quit because I'm looking so far ahead, but I could tell you I'm not quitting today, you know?
Well, this is like an interesting point, Christine, because like not everybody finds looking really far out useful for them. So I just want to encourage you, like you maybe haven't heard me talk about it, but I've talked about it a fair amount through my own journey. It's like, I tend to focus on the next pound or the next 5 pounds. That's about it. And I found my greatest success doing that very thing, not worrying about the full 150 pounds I'm losing, but like each individual pound, like I'm always just losing the next pound. The total doesn't matter in the end. I know I'm getting to my goal 100%. So
I struggle with believing I'm going to hit my goal.
Okay. So what do you believe about hitting your goal?
I feel like I believe it's almost impossible.
Is that true?
I've thought that so long, I don't know if I really can.
So you're here, you're an OBS woman, you joined, you're doing the work, you did a 4Ms this morning to get you on this call. Does that sound like someone that like really doesn't believe it?
It doesn't, if I was a third party watching this call, I would say that that lady's definitely going to hit her goal.
Yes. So like, I get it. You have your old shitty voice and you have doubts and you have some moments of like not confident in it. But I would love to watch you watch this back saying like, I am not quitting today. And like earlier you said, I'm in like the no quit zone. Like you clearly are not quitting on yourself, which is somebody that's 100% going to get to their goal. They just like don't have the confidence every minute that they are, but like you are.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I like to quit. If I'm not kind of winning, I want to quit. And that's why I have to keep reminding myself I'm not quitting this time.
But remind yourself how you are winning, right? Like not just not quitting, but how are you winning right now?
How am I winning? I feel like I may have only taken 6 pounds off of no BS, but I've taken probably hundreds of pounds off in my thought work, in my thoughts about myself and being able to eat in big, large group situations and owning it and being in control. I really worked through a situation where I was just so mad at how little enough felt like. And I just wanted it to be more. And I really worked myself through that. So I've done a lot of good. And like the pounds are coming off. It's not that they're not coming off, but it just doesn't feel like I'm going to get there sometimes.
Tell me how you are.
How am I? I decided I'm not a quitter this year. I decided that that's been my 2023 has been, I'm not quitting. I might go slower than slower than a turtle walking through molasses, but I'm not quitting, you know?
Like, don't practice that, Christine. You're doing it. You're literally four-inning your way to a coaching call. Yeah. Like, that is evidence that you're doing it. You're like literally doing it. And you are in fact losing weight. It doesn't matter the pace. Don't remind yourself slow or fast. You're like losing. We all lose 1 pound at a time. Like maybe you get on the scale and you're lucky enough to have 2 or 3 or 4 or whatever. But like fundamentally, pretty much just like counting, you're losing 1 pound at a time.
Okay.
Right. You are doing it.
Okay. Yeah, I am doing it.
Right? Like you are literally doing it so much so you forend and raised your hand.
Yeah. You're right.
That's about as doing it as there is, right?
Yeah, I'm doing it. And you're right. And my husband is a different person, even though it's the same amount of time, he's a totally different person.
Yeah.
He has his own demons that maybe I don't even know enough about.
Look, this is a practice, and this is for everyone. Yeah. We like the practice is finding joy in your husband's success and finding joy in your own at the same time, even though your journeys look a little different.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
is we don't have to diminish anything about yours because his has a bigger number or it's something more noticeable. He has a male human body and has lost X pounds. You have a female human body and have lost X pounds. Like, equal in celebration, they're going to be different. They're supposed to be different.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. They are different. Thank God.
Yeah. So I just want you to like borrow that belief from us and from the chat and like your commitment to yourself when you watch this coaching back. I want you to hear how you told me very early on, like you're in a no quitting zone. Like that's not even an option. That is such a great place to be because you can have doubt and keep going. Like Corinne teaches, like, we don't all believe it all day, every day. We don't have to. As long as you keep going, you don't have to believe it today.
Okay. Maybe that's more where I am. Like, I'm not believing it today, or just so
Okay.
yeah.
I mean, you're believing it enough to raise your hand, but you're not confident in your belief.
That sits more right, more true.
That's okay.
And then if that comment hit while I was just like a little bit sh on shaky ground, right? Kind of just threw me.
I get it. And also, you have a normal human brain. Like the person said words to your husband, and you had all the thoughts. Well, they don't have to change. You can be jealous. You can be envious that he got that compliment. It's okay.
I
You
can.
can handle that. I think so often we think like, oh, I gotta feel better about that. It's like, well, maybe you don't want to feel better about it. Like, keep going on your own journey and be willing to celebrate him and be jealous and love that he's doing it and be brave yourself. Like, you get to feel the whole gamut of human emotions.
That's right. I think that was it. I think I was forgetting that it's okay to feel whatever feelings I'm feeling. I was trying to mask those, and I've caught myself doing that before, but I wasn't catching it in this situation. It's okay to feel envious of how easy it seems for him, or it's okay, but that's him and I'm me, I think that's what I needed.
Thank you so much for sharing. And find me in the Facebook group or in Ask Coaches if you need support, but just keep going
I will.
and share your journey, right? Like if you're in the Facebook group, the support in the chat that you're getting and vice versa would be amazing in the Facebook group. So just remember that we're a community that's tight and loving and supportive, and you're welcome to post anywhere and continue sharing your journey with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'll see you
Okay.
soon.
Bye, Julie.
Bye. Thank you, Christine. So Karen asked in the Q&A, I've been with my husband for 28 years, but for the last year, we've not had sex. I feel awkward to try and do anything and even silly to put on sexy underwear or show him me and my husband. Then there was another post, show him anything. I don't know how to start or overcome my embarrassing by embarrassing myself and stop feeling silly. So Karen, I probably didn't read that perfectly because I took your two questions and put them together. I think the important thing is that, like, silly doesn't have to be bad. You're avoiding feeling silly and awkward, but sex can be silly and awkward. And what if you're really missing out on those moments? Like earlier, we were talking about creating curiosity and experimentation. And sometimes, like, the best thing you can do is open a line of communication, like spouse, insert name here. Like, I really miss you. I miss connecting with you physically and emotionally. I don't exactly know what to do next, but the first thing I could think of was to share it with you. Like, do you want to work on this with me? Like, direct communication so oftentimes is like really, really the answer. And then secondarily, I want you to think about yourself and your partner, and there's what you want to be done to your own body, what you're willing to have done to your own body, and what you are absolutely unwilling to have done to your body. And then there's what you want to do with your partner, your spouse, in your case, your husband, you said, Karen. There's what you're willing to do to your husband if he wants to do it. And there's things that you won't want to do no matter what, whether he wants them or not. I suggest you kind of tap in to that part of you, really knowing you and your desires and connecting with that. Then when you connect with him verbally at first, and then like physically, you know what you're open for. Right now you said you're feeling awkward about trying and doing anything and feeling silly. And this helps you get out of that sense of like awkward. It's like getting really grounded in knowing what you really want to do. So earlier someone mentioned toys. Well, I have a client that like absolutely doesn't want to play with toys. I have a client that 100% needs a toy to achieve orgasm with her partner. Both of those things are totally fine. But where it would be awkward is like not knowing what you're open to, not knowing what you're willing to experiment with, not knowing yourself enough to know like what you were willing to share verbally with him. Sometimes just trying like holding hands, right? Sit next to your partner, put your hand on their leg. There's like, you know how at No BS with weight loss, we talk about level ups. This is the same with sex and intimacy. If you have no contact, no kissing, no intimacy in any way, then a really big first step is coming up behind someone in the kitchen, rubbing their back, sitting on the couch, put your hand on someone's leg and pat it, hold their hand, right? These are really big changes when you're not doing anything. So I want you to kind of awaken your brain to what you're open to, and also be willing to feel that first minute of awkward for the end result being what you want it to be. Because it's only awkward for a couple, like you have been with your husband 28 years. It will only be awkward for a very short second before the door is open to conversation. He'll share, you can ask what he'd like. Does he want anything? Share what you'd like. Ask for what you need. The sky's the limit with words. The sky's the limit with words, everyone. I just really want you to know that. So this call is coming to an end. I just want to thank you so much for your openness and your honesty with everyone. And I want to end with this. I know you've seen in the Facebook group, if you Facebook, some of the one-on-one coaches have opened up capacity to take more clients. And I have opened up 5 slots for sex and intimacy work, which I do every day with No BS Women one-on-one. So I want to make sure you know that if you want to work with me personally, I am available for that. And this work can be so powerful. So if you are wanting to give the gift of like reawakening your sex and intimate life with you, yourself, you and your partner, you and your dating life, I am here to support you. And I just want to thank you again for being here. Thank Coach Lisa for being here. And we are going to end this call remembering that we have full modality over our body image. If you grew up believing some of the things that were said to you, you get to parent yourself. You get to sibling yourself to the love that you are entitled to the body image that you want to have for yourself. So I would love to see you go out into the world this week and start to talk to yourself differently. And start giving yourself the love and attention and the self-acceptance that you deserve and that will absolutely change your life. So thank you so much. I'll see you next month. Bye now.